So are you saying all ghosts are six?
Oh, 100%. What? Wow. Yes,
Jacob Marley does not strike me as a six, but I do. I can't actually do feel it now because he's like, I'm warning you. I'm like trying to help you. You know, here's how you got to fix your life and everything.
That's why Casper was hot both as a ghost and as a boy.
Yeah. You want to keep that last part or you just want to like hot as a boy?
I stand by it.
Hello and welcome to episode number 540 of the podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy. We're committed to educating you on things entertained but do not matter.
To find out more about these frozen pursuits, did you just pick frozen?
I had icy and that felt stupid, okay?
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's just like, this is what we're doing.
Are we doing notes? Let me get my pen for your call to action. Let's go.
To find out more about these frozen pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast. And we're on Twitter at PodcastPod.
It's a double meaning. It's Frozen the movie, but also the country's frozen, you know?
Oh.
Don't do that. Like, you understand it. It makes sense. Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be deep diving Frozen.
But before we do that, you guys, it is Princess Collection Month here at the podcast. Now, the Princess Collection is a 5-episode series where we deep dive 5 of the most iconic Disney princesses, including, and in this order, Jasmine, Belle, Tiana, Moana, and Rapunzel. Now, to continue to celebrate princesses through the end of the month, we have 2 fun things coming out on this Friday. First, a new cinema side piece on the cult classic, The Princess Bride, for friends and best friends of the show. And then we also have, for those who are subscribed to Note for the Audio, our free weekly newsletter, you can camp out with our new issue that addresses the age-old question, what does my favorite Disney princess say about me? So simply head to knoxandjamie.com/annual. There you can sign up to be a free subscriber to Note for the Audio. And there you can also learn how to become a Patreon supporter so that you can get that new cinema side piece and the 5-episode Princess Collection. The link is in the show notes.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Jamie, I'm so excited to be talking about the movie Frozen this week with you. And I think, you know, for people like scanning or skimming by and they'd be like, "What? Oh, I don't understand. Like, why are we talking about Frozen? Like, what's the deal beyond the obvious parallel that I mentioned at the beginning that the country is frozen right now?
There's a deeper parallel.
And, you know, we've been talking about a Princess Collection. We've been pushing our Princess Collection. We think it's really good. We think you'd really enjoy it. But beyond that, something that I unconsciously brought up in every single episode was, is Elsa a princess?
Right.
Because I never could remember that.
And I would always say to you, as a reminder, Anna and Elsa, neither are considered part of the Disney princess official group of people.
Aaron, if someone had asked you that, would you have been like, yeah, that makes sense that Princess Anna and Queen Elsa are not a part of the Disney princess canon?
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Interesting. I agree with
you. It does feel like a weird, like Disney is, it just feels like advanced trigonometry to me. Yeah. I don't know why they make it so complicated. It's why I can't go to Disney. It's why I don't understand all of the advanced maths that happen around Disney.
Yeah.
Just like, why are we making it so complicated with the bracelets and the wristbands and the apps and the lines? I don't understand. It's too complicated for me. Turn down for what? And so it makes a lot of sense that it'd be like, here's our criteria for princesses, but we're not going to tell you what they are, but we know what they are. And here's a princess,
yeah.
But she's not a princess.
It's right. A symptom of a larger issue.
Exactly.
You hear Disney? That's why you've lost a customer in Aaron. That's why she won't deal with
bracelets.
Right.
Thank you.
So listen, I know the answer. Would you like to hear it? So in the 90s, Disney princesses, that became a marketing campaign. And execs at the time said, characters are not chosen specifically for their royal titles, but rather how well they fit into what's deemed the princess mythology. For example, Tinkerbell, original Disney princess, no longer. Because I think they were like, you're tiny and weird and we can do other stuff with you.
You're kind of mean too, honestly.
I know,
she
she's kind of mean, yeah. And then Esmeralda also was a Disney princess and she was kicked out. The theory is because in the original text, she's the daughter of a sex worker. Ooh. And maybe that's not the, quote, princess mythology they wanted to land on. And so why no Anna and Elsa? Well, the internet will tell you quickly. First, it's because they have no animal companions. Well, that's not true of the other, like some of the 13 princesses also don't have animal companions.
Sure.
Okay. Second, they will tell you, well, actually, they're queens. She's a queen. And in Frozen 2, Anna becomes a queen. And but again, they were princesses first. That's how you become queens. Also, there's other Disney princesses who are now queens.
Yes.
Okay. So that doesn't make sense. The actual reason, and it is the correct reason, is that Anna and Elsa are too lucrative to be watered down by those other 13 B words. They just can't.
That actually makes more sense because the tactical, like you don't have an animal soulmate or whatever, that,
right.
You know, that kind of is just dubious. And the fact that like Rapunzel is there to celebrate the coronation and Rapunzel's a Disney princess. Do I have that correct?
That is correct.
And they're cousins. Right. Like, I just don't understand how that works. But I think if you look at it, like I remember reading Disney Channel shows, every three seasons they would shift, they'd pivot to like a location, like Liv and Maddie would go from Wisconsin to LA. And I was like, that's weird. Well, it's because at the fourth season, it triggers, you have to pay them certain kind of salary increases. But if you change locations and change the subtitle, it's a new show. Wink, wink.
No.
So it's the nuance that allows them to get around it. So I think that's very helpful. And I think that's informative to why I kept tripping on it, because many people are saying it was a complicated question.
So many people. And it actually, if you Google it, it is a very popular topic to discuss.
That's
sure.
Right. That's right. Yeah. So understanding that, we are going to get into some of the details with the movie Frozen. Jamie, would you like to start with some contextual information?
Yes. So Frozen, it came out in 2013. It is loosely based on Hans Christian Andersen's 1844 fairy tale called The Snow Queen. It follows Anna, the princess of Arendelle, who sets off on a journey alongside the Iceman, Kristoff, his reindeer Sven, and the snowman Olaf to find her estranged sister Elsa, whose icy powers have inadvertently trapped their kingdom in eternal winter. Okay, featured voices include Kristen Bell. Kristen Annie Bell is playing Anna. I just want to right here go, I don't like the pronunciation of Anna.
It's needlessly complicated.
I know. And I know some of you listening are like, my name is Anna. And I said, and I would say to you, how many people have named you Anna?
Yeah, like, you're needlessly complicated also.
That's right. And look, I am also needlessly complicated. My name is spelled like a boy Jamie and not a girl Jamie.
I'm not needlessly complicated. I let a barista call me the wrong name for 3 years and I never
that's
corrected
right.
him because it didn't
exactly
matter.
Right.
Didn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. So then we have Idina Menzel, who is playing Elsa. Jonathan Groff is playing Kristoff. Josh Gad, Olaf. Three of these are Broadway icons.
Yeah.
No offense to Kristen Annie Bell. I just don't think she's done Broadway, right? And then Santino Fontana, a very underrated as Hans. Like, he has a very sexy voice. Like, a very sexy voice.
I mean, you want to get into this now? I don't know. I feel like this is the miss, because I don't know who this is. You know? He doesn't razzle-dazzle me. I feel like that's a recasting opportunity.
What are you talking about? Santino? Like, won a Tony for Tootsie? What are you talking about?
I don't care what he got for Tootsie.
He's
want someone
hottie.
Else.
He's a cutie. He's like a little cutie cutie.
I've got known commodities left and right, and then I got
he's
this
in
guy.
He's a crazy ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, he played Greg.
Aaron, you're citing a show that got 20,000 viewers and The Run. I loved it too. It's great. It's like saying he was in What I Do in the Shadows or What They Do in the Shadows or What People Do in the Shadows. great for you, but is not a person of note.
Listen, did you listen to the audiobook of the ballad? You greenlit the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Yeah.
Did you listen to it on audiobook?
Is this an integrity check? Are you doubting me?
No, I just want to say he did the audiobook.
Joke's on you. I read that thing. That might have been the last book I read.
No, audiobooks count as reading. I swear to God, do not get them turning on us.
I sure hope so, because that's oh all I gosh. Do right now.
I was going to say. Anyway, this is a great group. And then there's some fun people like Alan Tudyk. But for the main part of Frozen story, I do want to do this context. Anna is 18 and Elsa is 21. This is confirmed by the director. And so their parents, quote, died. And I use quotes because they're not dead. Anna was 15 and Elsa was 18 when their parents died. So that's where we find ourselves. It did get nominated for 2 Academy Awards. It won both of them for Best Animated Feature and Best Original Song, Let It Go. And that is when we got the infamous Adele Dazeem moment with John Travolta at the Oscars. And it was traumatic for it. Idina Menzel has really talked about, like, I just don't understand how Dazeem is easier than Menzel.
Yeah, like, I think I like people talk about remembering where they were in the Moonlight and La La Land mix up happened. I'll never forget where I was when I heard Adele Dazeem, because I was like, am I having a stroke or is he having a stroke? Low key, it's more important than Will Smith punching Chris Rock or slapping Chris Rock, because like that was such it spun off a whole nother universe of reality. Right. Whereas Adele Dazeem just came and went and everyone's like left to deal with it and hold that, you know?
That's exactly right.
You know, I think in terms of like where I accessed the movie, it was through my children. It was like my daughter waking up every day singing, "Do you want to build a snowman?" It was like her asking for an Elsa wig for her birthday, and it looking more like a Joe Dirt cosplay than it did Elsa. And now she has like a 15-step skincare routine. So I feel aged by this movie, knowing like the origins of it, you know?
Here's what I will say. I do love that I did think about Do You Want to Build a Snowman? And as I'm watching this, because watching it for this episode, it was the second time I've ever seen Frozen. And when I was watching it, I was like, is that a funeral song? Did people just die in the middle of the song?
Yeah, and they did. That's
and they
right.
did. And I like that nobody really talks about that.
Do You Want to Build a Snowman is about still doing life when sad things are happening around you.
Oh, okay.
Like your sister never talking to you again inexplicably and having to process that trauma as an 8-year-old. You know, it's crazy stuff.
Yikes.
All right, let's go ahead and get to some superlatives. And again, this is going to be like a hybrid of what we normally do for our cinema side piece episodes, where we kind of break down the movie. It's also going to include some of the stuff we do from our princess collection. So if you like either, I would recommend going to oxygenjamie.com/Patreon and joining up, because we do this on the regular with different movies and stuff like that. So Jamie, who or what for you won this movie?
Okay, for me, it was 100% the animation. Like I was really, even watching it today on an iPad, like while I was taking notes, I was like, God, their hair looks so good.
Yeah.
It's really like the level, having especially watched these other films recently, this is like another, it's like a whole other level. Like Moana and this are like really the tentpoles, because I had read that in Tangled, Rapunzel had 100,000 CGI animated strands of hair. Elsa has 400,000.
Gosh.
Strands of CGI. Generated hair. And that hair, listen, that hair launched 1,000 platinum blondes. Like you look at it and you're like, oh my God, could I also be platinum blonde? I could maybe do it. And you can't. It's
all
like,
that hair, no noses though. Nobody got noses except for Olaf in this thing.
Listen, has anybody ever gotten noses? Like, well,
I was just stunned by like when they're sad and I was like, how do they have time to breathe right now? There's like no nasal passages.
And listen, that scene where she's building the ice palace that she can live in. The animation is so, and combined, it's like a perfect storm, because you're combining it with that iconic song. But the fact that it took 9 months to do that scene, they said we had at least 50 effects artists and lighting artists working together to create the long shot. It took 9 months. It took 30 hours to render one frame. And listen, that scene is on YouTube, like the music video, obviously the Let It Go. Would you like to guess? I have two for you. Aaron and Ox, would you like to guess how many views that has on YouTube?
250 million.
250 million. Okay.
I'm going to say 700 million.
700 million. It's 3.3 billion.
Oh my God.
Right. Okay. And that doesn't even put it in the top 50 most viewed YouTube videos, by the way. The most viewed YouTube video of all time has 13 billion views. Would you like to guess the most viewed YouTube? Just think about it. from your own perspective, what's a video? What's something that you might show over and over
again? Is it the scene in Troy when Brad Pitt meets King Priam?
If I let you take him, you're still my enemy in the morning.
You're still my enemy tonight, for even enemies can show respect.
That has 183 views, and they're all yours.
How dare you?
I feel like it's like a Justin Bieber music video.
Okay, close.
God, that's so sad. That makes me so sad, honestly. I'll piggyback off that. I think the music, obviously, that doesn't feel like a very hot take. The music's incredible. Some of, you know, I think Disney, especially in this era, was really good at making a movie with two or three bangers, and the rest is like, I didn't need that. This one, it's just wall to wall. If it's not involving the trolls, it's a killer. If it does, we'll talk about that later. Not so much. But everything outside of that, like, I mean, you mentioned Let It Go. Do You Want to Build a Snowman? For the First Time in Forever, Love's an Open Door. Reindeers Are Better Than People. Low-key, my favorite, honestly.
In Summer. I actually like In Summer.
Incredible. Really good stuff. I don't know. Pound for Pound is probably the best musically soundtracked movie. And I think that's, you know, you can look at this movie and be like, did this launch Kristen Bell? You can make that case because she's Veronica Mars. That's a big deal. But her turn as Anna, not just musically, but also the movie. I think that's a big deal. But I do think the music is what makes this movie so good. Not necessarily the story, because there's things you can pick apart, you know, as you watch.
Yeah, for sure.
I also want to say, normalizing people having voices for their pets, like Kristoff and Sven, I think that won the movie. Because everybody does. Nobody shares. Like, I've got two voices I use for.
But you're not going to share them. Because I would like to hear Luna. How does Luna sound?
Just grouchy. Just grouchy cowboy, you know? And Bruce is like, Bruce has got a big lisp, you know? Kind of like an annoying third grader with a lisp, you know? And there's characters and there's voices, but I'm glad no one shares that, but it's a reality that people.
Aaron, does your dog have a voice?
No, Bear doesn't have a voice. We would speak for.
Maybe that's why Bear doesn't want to hang out with you.
Let me be clear, Aaron. I've been to your house. I don't think that dog likes y'all at all.
No, it's very. Listen, he was so upset that he had to go in the laundry room when it was 9 degrees one night.
Does your dog not want to be near you?
I think there's something like wrong with him.
Or do you think it's about y'all? He's like, you've named me another animal. I'm a dog, but you've named me Bear. You tried to make me disassociate.
That was on Marlo. I don't know what to tell him. It's very upsetting.
I get it.
I'm worried about him. It's not okay.
Jamie, who or what lost the movie for you?
Okay, for me, it is just a general take on parenting. I'm going to be honest. I started watching this movie and I was like, okay, wait. So Anna is ice cold. Like, right. You've picked her up and you're like, oh my gosh, she's ice cold. I know where we need to go. Instead of first going, how about an electric blanket, a fire, some USB hand warmers? No. You would rather isolate her from her sister.
Yep.
And everyone she loves, and create trauma where there is none, and hope that works out when she's an adult. Conceal it, don't feel it. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then, unfortunately, then Do You Want to Build a Snowman becomes a funeral dirge. And then when she finally does maybe get to have a moment where she becomes queen, you put the most ratchet tiara on her I've ever seen. That was embarrassing.
Is that for ants? Is that tiara for ants? Because it's so small.
What is that? But anyway, I just say bad parents. And this is why you shipwrecked, because that's why.
Look, the parenting is the adult figures, institutional adult figures take the biggest L in this movie, because to your point, so it might understand that the king's, in case of emergency contact is the trolls. So he's like, I don't know how to solve this, and we have no medical professionals. I'm going to go to the trolls.
Right.
I have a lot of questions about that maybe we'll get to. But I had a couple baby ones. I had the ice scene at the beginning. That's where, honestly, like, that almost lost me out the gate, because this was in the era of Disney movies where they'd show you a 12-minute cartoon before the movie, which just spirals all of your young children, because they're like, I thought I'm watching Frozen. And you're like, I know, but this is about, I don't know, like a bird that's trying not to get swept up in the ocean and try not to drown. And it'll be over in a second. Don't worry. And you've only got this long in a movie theater where the kid's not going to freak out or go to the bathroom. So it's like,
yeah,
they're really pushing it a little bit.
No, it's like when you go to the Taylor Swift tour and you're like, who is this? I am not interested. They don't even have good sound. It's like, there's not even, it's like, and I get like, good for you, Sabrina, good for you. But like, you don't, they don't, they're not even trying to do sound well for you.
No.
And none of us are listening.
We're nobody cares.
Nobody
cares. Hey, Sharts, it's us, the Popcast. Get rid of openers. That's
openers.
The business.
No
plan.
Openers needed. No openers needed.
We don't need them. Yeah. We don't need them. I also had this is on me. I lost because I thought in summer, I always thought the lyric was kissable dandelion fuzz. And it's kids will blow dandelion fuzz.
Bees will buzz. Kids will blow dandelion fuzz. And I'll be doing whatever snow does.
Why would you do? Have you been kissing dandelion? Like, is because obviously you heard that and was like, oh, that makes sense. People do kiss dandelions.
But you're getting rude with me. This is a song from a snowman who don't understand weather. Okay. That's not a weird thing for me to assume that he was thinking about, you know?
Do you know how to blow a dandelion? It feels like you might not.
I don't.
You may put your mouth on it, and you probably shouldn't.
Tell your sex tape. I think.
I tried.
Last one. On Coronation Day, when they're opening up the gates for the first time, big deal. You get a whole song about it. Did you notice the two big homie kings or dukes or whatever?
Yes.
Where they're like, can't wait to see the princesses. I bet they're hot. Listen. It's like, okay, pedo bros.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny & Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code PODCAST at checkout to save Terms and conditions apply. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/podcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/podcastpod.
Low key MVP for you in this movie.
Listen, hat tip to Olaf. I know that seems like a weird thing to be low key MVP, but like having watched this again, I was like, God, he gets the best lines.
He does.
He is such a well done character. When he says, "I don't have a skull or bones," I don't know. Like, that sent me to the moon. I just love how like weirdly creepy he gets. I love that. Also, when Elsa is, when they first meet him and she's juggling Olaf and she's like, "Ew, ew, the body." I don't know why that also sends me. But then my main low-key MVP is Oaken, the owner of the Wandering Oaken's Trading Post and sauna. First of all, I love that it's a trading post and sauna. That feels very Colorado. You know that you have those. You know that you have those everywhere. But I also like that, because I was like, who did this voice? Who did this voice? Listen, I looked it up. It's just a guy named Chris Williams. You know, the guy who directed Bolt, Big Hero 6, and Moana.
Incredible.
Isn't that funny that they're just going to the break room at Disney and being like, can anyone do a voice of a Norwegian?
That's anyone? How the dude from Cheers with the mustache, Ratzenberger or whatever.
Yeah.
That's how he keeps showing up. He's like, I got voices. I can do that.
I can do stuff. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Can I push back on Oaken with you for a second?
No.
Was Oaken, was he surge pricing Kristoff?
Yes, of course he was.
He was like, it's $10. We've had this, some would argue, natural disaster. Okay.
Right.
And I'm going to charge you four times what I should. Is he a good person is my question.
Listen, did you try to buy Lysol wipes in at the heart of the pandemic? People making bank. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's understandable.
Okay.
In a capitalist society. I do understand why people do it.
So yeah. Oaken's the guy hoarding all
supply
the toilet paper.
Supply demand.
And we're good with it. We're just because he says, yoo-hoo, yoo-hoo.
See?
Right, that's fine.
Right now, I'm taken back. I love it. He's fantastic.
Low-key MVP for me, I had the staircase to the castle on the North Mountain. Makes no sense, but I did need them to go ahead and like get there, because they kept being like, oh man, it's like another 50 billion miles. And then when Olaf's just like, ooh, it's exactly what we need. Thank you. Thank you, movie. No one else wanted more mountain climbing. This was great. I thought that was good. The lyric in Love is an Open Door, I think it's First Time in Forever. When she says,
why have a ballroom with no balls? Finally.
Makes me laugh every time.
100%. Every time. That's 100%. So good.
I love it. But I think I will do officially low-key MVP, the love at first sight subversion, right? Because,
and
we talked about this throughout our Princess Collection. There in the earlier days of the Disney movie renaissance with princesses, you see them fall into easy tropes. As we get more modern, you see subversion of these tropes, and in a way to kind of evolve the idea of what a princess can be in a way that kind of matches the cultural, I don't know, evolution in mores. But I think even more to be able to do that deftly is so impressive. And I thought the way they set up, not just like we're going to subvert this, but actually we're going to turn it into the big twist. I thought that was so clever, and kind of like what you're talking about with Olaf. Olaf, you know, to have like an animal companion or whatever you want to argue Olaf is, they exist like in Entangled. He's just like a, I don't know, weirdo, like lizard. He doesn't do much, right? We don't need him. But with Olaf like changes the temperature of the movie, pun intended. But he adds like a comedic relief. He adds something to the conversation that plays in to the end. And I just think the elegant dovetailing of the subversion, but also like Olaf. This is like a really well-crafted movie.
And I think for me, you can, it's almost like Aaron and I were recently having a conversation about like romance novels, and she made the point about like, I never want to read a man written by anybody other than a woman from here on out, because there is, and Aaron, I don't know where that was, like what you meant by that. Like, was it just that it felt like a unique perspective and a,
I don't know. I feel like the way that women understand how women want to be seen by men,
right,
is exactly how I want to read how a man sees a woman.
Yes, exactly. And I think that is how Christoph, you can almost sense that, like,
yes,
they wrote Christoph and Anna and Hans as like, this is the not way, but this is the way that you think,
yes,
we want, because we're 8. And to be fair, we're 18 and we've never seen a guy. So we're, yeah, pretty horny. And, but also like, Christoph is that it's not quite enemies to lovers, but it's forced proximity a little bit. And it's a classic romantic trope, like tropes that are very subversive, that you don't truly, that you rarely see, well, you never see in Disney movies, but you rarely see in movies at all.
Yeah.
Because it's always like, well, she just fell in love with him because there was a motorcycle. Well, okay. Well, that's not the only reason. Like, we're more complex than that. Like,
I do wish, I appreciate the character of Prince Hans so much. I don't think we like need a spinoff of him, but I'm kind of like Bridgerton season 4. Let's throw Prince Hans in the mix. Doesn't make sense, okay, probably.
With,
but like,
with Eloise, okay.
Let's let him cook. Let's see, yeah, what he comes up with. You know, what's the recipe, yeah, bro? Yeah. Jamie, how many female friends do we think this non-princess has? I think what's important to establish here is, which princess is this movie about to you?
Oh, this, it's really about Anna.
It is. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's about Anna, but Elsa sold all the merch.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And like, literally, I saw a report that was like, from, it was like a vice president of marketing at a big retailer. And they said, we sell 2 Elsas for every 1 Anna. Like,
yeah,
it's just not even a competition. And we thought it would be more even than that.
I think it's because she has the banger song, you know, but I think
the hair, you just can't beat that hair.
The hair's
and
good.
And her dress is so much better than Anna's dress.
Yes, you are correct. I think in a lot of ways, I like what the movie does with archetypes, and you've got the Prince Hans and the Elsa archetypes. And I think the Anna and Kristoff archetypes are a more relatable person, more, yeah, like identify with that person versus like a royal brother or an ice goddess or whatever. So I think that speaks to some of the interest in her, but I do think fundamentally, this is a movie about Anna, not Elsa.
From beginning to end, we're always kind of centering her perspective and her, I mean, just generally minutes on screen. It's Anna.
Yeah.
But as far as friends go, let me make a case. I think Anna collects a lot of people and has a lot of people that know her and has had encounters with. I'm not impending her traumatic childhood. I'm just saying, like, as an adult, she would have an engaged, but I also think there's a part of her that's like, I'm not like other girls.
Oh, okay.
I'm not into that. And I think that for some people, some friends, she might feel a bit clingy because of needing to be needed.
Okay.
Nobody has ever needed to be needed like Anna needs to be needed. And so for me, I would say she has fewer friends than Elsa has.
I completely disagree with you.
Right.
She has no friends. She's not been allowed to have, friendship has been outlawed in Arendelle.
Right, right. But I'm just saying, like, now, do I think there are some class issues at play? Yes. Like, obviously, it is ridiculous that, like, why aren't you friends with anybody that works at this castle?
Yeah.
Like, what do you, what,
okay, that's a great point, Jamie. Let me ask this follow-up. Does anybody work at this castle? Because it doesn't feel like they do. Because you
have 1,000 salad plates if nobody works at this castle.
I don't know. You have, like, I don't know, those are contractors, but like, you have things happening where Anna and Elsa should have a handler being like, this is the Duke of Weaseltown. He's like, kind of a big deal. Like, you just need to talk to him. He's going to want to dance with you or something. Nobody, no adults in the room. There's a couple like butler people with like reverse monk haircuts, but no one is there to be like, hey, I'm the person that you've depended on because your sister's weirdly been a shut-in in her room and your parents thought that was a great idea. There's nothing like that.
So you think we need like a Joe from Princess Diaries, like Hector Elizondo. That's who we need.
That would be great. We need like a Cardinal Richelieu. There's like, why is there no one stepped in to be like, I'm making the decisions. Because there's got to be a big boy in the room, you know?
Listen, if you're new to the podcast and if you've ever wondered, what's the difference of Doc's and JB? It's that I referenced Joe from Princess Diaries and you referenced actual Cardinal Richelieu.
Listen, maybe both are fictional. Who knows? Only history knows for sure.
Only history knows.
You know what I mean? But she has zero friends. I think if she had the opportunity, she would have more friends. But she clearly has no friends.
Do you think Elsa has friends? Because I think Elsa has all the friends.
No, she barely has a sister. She barely has a sister.
Listen, she has a lot of girlfriends because that's how you make you have to have friends who are girls in order to have an actual girlfriend. And I think we should discuss it here. This is why I think it's important. Look, you know, when this movie came out, a couple of conservative radio talk show hosts came out and they said, this movie has a quote pro homosexual agenda.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, I want to hear. I'm going to hear them out.
Don't judge the take. Just enjoy the take.
That's
right.
And this is what they said. This is a quote. The character of Elsa is born different from other people. Good
grief. Okay.
But ultimately accepts who she is. Further, Elsa doesn't have any male suitors. And elsewhere in the film, there's a moment involving a male character, Oaken, saying hi family to a male adult and several children. That's his family. That they're two gay dads.
Yeah. I kind of think we should start saying like anyone but you has a heterosexual agenda, you know.
You should.
I just don't understand that.
Well, in the commentary, they also said, if I was the devil, I would have bought Disney in 1984. That's what I would have done. And it's so interesting because their argument is like, that's how you indoctrinate the children. But I think it's so sad that like what you think is an agenda is really just like, again, like, well, maybe we can have her because she's not straight.
Yeah.
Technically. But it's like, Elsa can't just be a person. It's like we've created such a narrative that like to be in a movie, you have to have a love interest. And if you don't, it's like, well, if she doesn't have a man, I mean, it must be she doesn't like men. That's the only way we could possibly explain why she would not have a romantic love interest.
I think that's the trap of these princess movies in the genre, the Disney genre. And I think it's something they're trying to shake off. And I think they're able to. Like, I think this walks so Moana can run. And it's like, Moana's just doing her thing. Like, we don't have to get all worked up about her sexuality because she's just like trying to, why's the island mean, you know, and trying to get her heart back or whatever the movie's about. All right, Jamie, is her, I'm going to say her, but we mean Anna. Is Anna's attraction to a love interest justified?
Listen, she's got two choices, right? She's got Hans, who's hot and charming. He will, though, eventually steal cash out of your wallet. That's his vibe that he gives off. And Kristoff is fully personality. Like, he's a tall guy. And look, I hate it. Like, short kings everywhere. You are amazing and valuable and fearfully and wonderfully made. But we love a tall guy. Like, we love a tall guy. And
so
I hate it.
So you're getting that Kristoff is, like, markedly taller than Hans?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I never picked that up. I don't know.
I think it's the broadness of it. Maybe it's
Aaron, will you look and see if there's a height, a canonical height difference between the two? Because I'd love to know
that. And listen, sometimes height is spiritual. It's emotional.
Yeah.
It's not always physical.
Sure.
But I think in this case, it actually is physical.
Aaron, did you get an answer?
Yes. Okay. So on facts.net.
Oh, couldn't get the .com.
Well, okay. So this is an attempt. None of this is official.
Okay.
But it appears that Kristoff is estimated, I'm sorry, Hans is estimated at 5'6".
What?
And Kristoff is
holy crap. What?
And Kristoff is 5'10". I don't like either one of those.
That's not what Aaron and I were talking about.
I reject that.
I don't like it. Because in that picture, well, then how tall is Elsa?
This is what this says, and I disagree with this, but it says Elsa is 5'4", and Anna would be 5', and Olaf is 4'3".
What are we talking about?
That is not real.
No, that's not real.
I don't like
But in the picture, I will say Kristoff is a lot taller than Hans.
He's also like... Thicker.
What?
You know what I mean.
You know, thicker.
Like,
We need a sound effect for like when y'all get weirdly sexual and we just need to play
like,
it. I need like Bozo the Clown, like, Like, I'll chill. So I looked up average Norwegian height in the 1800s. And I know it's like, you know, we have different kingdoms and principalities, but the standard was 5.5 feet. So that's, it's pretty dead on. Fact.net.blogspot.org, I think, is actually right. Their numbers are good.
Okay. Yeah. Still, sometimes it's just taller than the other ones around you. So
yeah,
we'll let him have it.
The one-eyed man is king in the land of the blind, right? That kind of deal.
That's right. That's what I was thinking.
I agree with everything you're saying. The only question I have is it realistic for Kristoff to not be completely weird? Because he has no parents. His best friend is a weirdly old reindeer who reindeer only lived to 15. That Sven's clearly like on like the downslope, you know, of his life. And his parental figures are rocks / trolls. And we think he's going to be like a well-adjusted guy who could get a princess.
What if I told you he was a loner who had an internet line and he could learn things?
So was Ted Kaczynski. He was not charming royalty. If you want to make the case that Elsa is the princess, I think you could make a case for her love interest being solitude and no expectations.
Yes.
You know?
Listen, her being like, what? This is great. Why are y'all even here? Like, even when her sister comes, she's like, I need to protect the kingdom. I'm dangerous. But also like... I've got like, I'm doing cooking for one now.
Yeah.
And so I don't have any extra food for
you. Doesn't Elsa, like, when Anna shows up, doesn't Elsa say, I'm busy? It's like, do what? What are you talking about, dude?
You got a call before you come.
I felt it. I felt it so hard when she built that ice palace and was like, I'm just going to live here now. Nobody, no visitors.
You're doing? When you're building your house right now, you're building your ice palace.
That's right. That's right. I've got a cold plunge tub. I've got a sauna. I've got my oaken. I've got my ice palace. It's all, a whole deal.
You're the ready only to go.
The nitpick I had was, would Elsa, understanding what she wanted and desired, have built a big staircase to her kingdom? This feels like a moat situation, and you're definitely not getting across. All right, let's go. Jamie, can you, this is like a special assignment. Can you pick any character from this movie and talk to us about their Enneagram?
Okay, I'm going to pick Elsa because I think Elsa, there is a big internet energy around telling you fictional characters' Enneagram number. And you technically you cannot assign someone an Enneagram number. They have to assign it to themselves. And so, however.
I'm hearing a lot of excuses right now.
Exactly.
I'm hearing a lot of excuses.
Well, but see, I think Elsa gets, and everywhere I look, she constantly gets identified as a one. Because of the word perfect that she uses in songs. Like, I have to be perfect and I'm going to throw off being perfect. I don't actually think she's a one. And here is why. I think ones, for the most part, their whole motivation is to make things better. The world, and that can be the world in their own house. It can be the world in their drives. It can be the world. It can be literally the whole world. It can be their improvement project, right and wrong. I think Moana, one. Like 100% is like, there's right and wrong, and I have to do this, and I have to make this better. Okay. But I think Elsa is a six, and I'm going to make the case that sixes are loyalists. I actually think she's a six wing five. That's how specific I'm getting.
Okay.
Because I do think she likes solitude. I do think she is not bothered by, like, she didn't come out of that room, like, looking with her hair looking like Anna's hair, because she was just like, what? I've got it together. Like, I'm ready to go. But I also think the reason of that is sixes really want security, guidance, and the support of those around them. And when her parents go to leave, she's like, you're coming back, right? That's a six energy. She makes a lot of decisions out of fear. That's a six energy. Ones make decisions out of anger. Yes, you do. Don't get mad at me and do not at me. You do. And so sixes make decisions out of fear, and they put a lot of pressure on them to, they put a lot of pressure on themselves to fix things, which can often lead to anxiety. And you know who comes back from the dead in the sequel? Enneagram six. Sixes are who comes back from the dead because they've done a multi-case, worst case scenario.
They plan for,
like,
this.
Well, if I do die, this is how I'll come back. Like, I think Walt Disney was a six. So that's why I think it fits perfectly that she is a six.
So are you saying all ghosts are six?
Oh, 100%. What? Wow. Yes.
Jacob Marley does not strike me as a six, but I do. I kind of actually do feel it now because he's like, I'm warning you. I'm like trying to help you. You know, here's how you got to fix your life and everything.
That's why Casper was hot both as a ghost and as a boy.
Yeah. You want to keep that last part or you just want to, like, hot as a boy?
I stand by it. That hot as a boy. But when I was a girl.
Yeah. No, it's a good qualifier. Let's keep that in. I want to edit that out. I love that. I think that's great. So let's do hottest take about the movie. I have three. that I feel really convinced in. You tell me like which one makes the most sense to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, number one, Sven is actually the hero of Frozen because he's not a look at me guy, okay? Doesn't need a song, right? He does the work, only requires carrots, right? He doesn't need a fortress of ice solitude. He doesn't need a new boyfriend or girlfriend. He doesn't need like trading rights with Weaseltown. He just carries the sled. He realizes that Kristoff, like at the end, when Kristoff's like, well, handed her off, hope it all works out. He starts like reindeer barking at him. And he's like, bro, bro, bro. And so Kristoff's like, I guess I do need to go back. So he's got intuition. He's willing to sacrifice himself to get Kristoff to Anna at the end. And I think he's, honestly, you could make the case to me, no one really changes in this movie that much. Like, obviously Elsa does because she comes back, thaws the city, and is like, my ice is nice now. You know, it's not like a catastrophe. I don't know that that showcases a lot of change necessarily, but Sven has the whole arc. He starts wanting to eat Olaf's nose. He ends. He's tempted. He sucks that thing down. He's got it. And then he spits it back out. And he's like, no, I'm a good reindeer. We're friends now. Here's your nose back.
Yeah. No, I like Sven as the hero because you know what Sven gives me? He gives me Chewbacca energy.
I love it. You're exactly right.
And Chewbacca is also the hero of Star Wars.
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now. You put an animal in a movie. And you have a lead human talk to that animal in English, and the animal make noises back, and the human interpret those animal noises.
Yes.
Undefeated. All in. It doesn't make sense, but I love it. So good.
But I love it.
Okay. Next hot take. Elsa hates Anna. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And again, all we have to do is use what's in the text of the movie. That's all we can go off of, right?
Okay.
We make our own assumptions. At the beginning, what gets us into this trouble? Anna wants to play. Elsa's sleeping. Doesn't really want to play, but she does because she's a good big sister. Anna starts playing a little too much. Elsa can't keep up with her. If you look at the trajectory of her ice powers, they're always going down to the floor. The last one, it's a headshot. It's a dodgeball headshot. Okay. She didn't slip. She was just shooting from, you know, like lower on the ground. She headshot her on purpose. She just got
a
little.
She didn't tell her to slow down and she didn't.
I know. And so, you know what's going to stop her? A headshot to the face. Ice powers. She didn't know it was going to be in the brain.
Do you think Elsa saw it in the moment? Like, oh, you're the spare. I can take you out. This
yeah.
Fine.
You don't yeah. really matter. And I'd really get, like, I'd love to get some sleep. Later in the Ice Palace of Solitude, blast her with an ice grenade. You yeah. know, she's like, sorry, went through your heart, but like, that's just kind of what I do now. And then she creates a ice monster to get rid of her and her new guy.
Yes.
Now I'm going to remind you when the assassins come to kill her with crossbows, do you know what she does? She keeps like, throwing ice at the ground, be like, you better stop it. Don't do it. Don't. She won't like try to kill them, but she's
yeah, she
willing to have a
shields.
Monster eat
yeah.
Anna, you know?
Listen, you've made strong cases. I do think the hottest of the hot takes is that Elsa hates her sister Anna.
Yeah. Okay. No, I think yeah. you're right. I think you're right. And I like that. I prefer that. Jamie, did you have any reaches or problems with this movie?
I do have some problems with that. The fact that you're going to get married, which might've been a childhood dream. Cause you have just sung a song where
yeah.
you've said, I would hope to find love. And then you suggest that at that reception, you're going to serve soup, roast and ice cream. That's embarrassing.
Roast and ice cream. I can get around soup. I can't get around.
No, no. And then also I do love, like, I don't love the title of this movie. Frozen seems, it's like Tangled. It's like, are these just states of being? I don't understand what's happening.
Sure.
I just don't like the vagueness of it. I want it to be, this should have been Anna and Elsa. Like it
that's the title?
Title
Anna and Elsa.
Yeah. No,
I'm just saying you brought a problem. I don't know that you brought a solution. That's my note.
But here's why. To me, this was the... Now, I do have a conspiracy theory that this was... They named it Frozen because it's the Taylor Swift went to the Jets games theory of SEO confusion. Like, if you search for Taylor and Jets, no longer it would be that she is a climate villain and okay. is constantly private jetting to everywhere every day, literally in the country. And then I like the idea that they're like, hey, so Walt Disney is Frozen under Pirates of the Caribbean, but we need it to not be the thing that people find when they search for Walt Disney Frozen anymore. And now it's not. You don't ever find that. Now, to be fair, he was cremated and interred in a cemetery. So he's not under.
I do like the conspiracy theory on top of another conspiracy theory. You know,
I know I do like that. But
exactly.
I do think Disney was like so tired of like, hey, we cannot keep talking about this
yeah.
forever. So we just need to solve this with a movie.
And they're like, first idea, let's call this cryogenics. And they're like, S2 on the nose. Let's go Frozen. It's better.
Okay, what about you? Any biggest reaches? Any problems with the movie?
You cast Jonathan Groff, and you let him sing a little ditty where half of it is in a reindeer voice. What?
Listen, the biggest fail, because I kind of wish Jonathan Groff had been Hans.
I agree.
Because he would have gotten a better song.
It's a little tough. I don't understand. You're gonna have a portrait of Joan of Arc in your castle, but when your daughter's a little different, you're like, stay in your room forever. I don't want to see you anymore. So I don't think you can have the feminism both ways. You know what I mean? Why didn't Prince Hans' brothers or parents come to the coronation? They sent number 13. I think Arendelle's kind of a big deal, but like number 13 gets to go here? That was weird. You kind of hit it, but if you're a parent, and if your advice for anything ever is conceal it, don't feel it, you're doing a bad parent. That's not, no.
Sorry, boomers. You're doing a bad job.
Yeah, I just...
We were talking about, recently at a lunch, we were talking about why is it that when the Challenger exploded, while all of us watched it in school, watched a teacher die in front of us,
right?
And then they were like, okay, back to your classrooms.
Open and your social studies textbooks, too.
And I got home and I asked my mom and dad, I was like, what happened? And they were like, something went wrong. And that was it. And we never spoke of it again.
Amazing.
And because we weren't allowed to ask hard questions about like death. I was like, well, we hope they went to heaven. And that was it. Like,
incredible. Let's go ahead and hit our sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp is one of... No, I'm kidding. So at the end, should Arendelle have declared war on Weaseltown? Because they legit tried to assassinate the queen. And it feels like, you know, war's been waged for less.
Yes, 100%. I think that Elsa should have frozen Hans and left him in the town square as a reminder to F around and find out.
Oh,
that's
what
I feel like should have happened.
Okay. As her publicist, I would probably be like, hey, you're kind of on thin ice, pun intended, with the people in terms of like your behavior. Maybe we pull back and we do ice skating, you know, on the weekends.
Yeah,
I think that was
fair
a good,
enough.
Move. Good PR move. I think if that happens, shouldn't Rapunzel and Flynn have taken over the kingdom instead of number 13 from the Southern Isles?
Well, it was because Anna had said he's in charge.
Yeah, but like that's family. Rapunzel and Flynn are family.
And they've got their own kingdom.
Yeah, I know, but no one can leave now because it's frozen. That's the name of the movie, you know? So it actually makes a lot of sense.
How can you not leave when it's frozen?
You think they're airplaning out of their dog? Like, you can't say the sea is frozen.
Nobody
like,
can fly? What year is this?
This is 1843. I looked it up.
Oh, I don't know when planes started, so that seems too early.
You know, do you know from us getting planes in the air to go in the moon was 60 years? That feels like a not long enough amount of time.
That doesn't feel like enough research.
I'm impressed.
Or maybe we spent too much money on that, and that's why we all have ADHD now.
Another one. Did the troll woman kidnap Sven and Kristoff? Because
right.
It feels like
exactly.
She did.
Yeah, it does.
When Anna gets in the kingdom, no one's like, you should get in the hot tub or the sauna or like a warm blanket. They're just like, be in a room with a fire.
I don't understand why no one has hand warmers. Like, I don't understand.
I don't understand why no one goes up the mountain with a torch. Like, no one's like, you know, we should take fire to ice. That'd be a good
like
idea.
Fire, guys, it's right there.
Yeah, and that was pretty much it. I had some questions about Olaf. You know, where's he at while Anna's dying? But like, he comes and saves the day at the end.
I forgot about what happens to him in Frozen 2. It makes me very sad.
Oh, I don't remember, honestly. Maybe
he
we'll
dies,
do that.
Right? Doesn't he die?
Does he? I don't know.
What? Does Olaf die?
Aaron, will you look
Aaron,
that up?
Will you check?
I'm looking.
Aaron, will you look that up? Olaf and how die? Tall is Olaf? Is he a short king? Or is he like...
4'3". Really... She told us earlier he's 4'3".
I never heard that. I'm so sorry.
Okay. When Elsa became frozen after learning the truth at Atohalin, the magic that animated Olaf dissipated, causing him to die in Anna's arms and fade away, eventually becoming a lifeless pile of snow.
Yeah, thank you. I knew he died.
Whoa. He's definitely coming back, though. He's got to. Yeah. Spirit ghost Olaf is definitely coming back.
I mean, if she can create one, she can create another.
Oh, come my on. Gosh. Olaf is 5'4". Olaf is almost as tall as Elsa.
No, that's ridiculous.
That doesn't make any sense.
Your Google is messed up.
Are
you on Bing?
No.
What are you doing?
No.
That actually makes sense. No one makes a small snowman. No one builds a small snowman. I know there are kids, but like you build a big old snowman.
If you have access to all that snow, you're going to make a huge one.
Okay, Jamie, recast one role and why.
Okay, so famously, Kristen Bell was almost cast as Rapunzel in Tangled, and she lost out to Mandy Moore. I would like to swap them.
Oh, interesting.
I think Kristen Bell would make a better Rapunzel, and Mandy Moore would make a better Anna.
I disagree because I think there is a wistfulness with Mandy Moore that is good for Rapunzel. And there's a little bit of a comedic edge with Anna. Like when she delivers the gassy line, I don't feel like Mandy Moore can deliver I'm gassy somewhere in that
nah,
zone.
That's fair. That's a good point. I mean, I think everybody was really well cast. So,
well, I mentioned Hans. Oh, no. He sucks. So we got to fix that.
No, I don't agree with that.
I want to go old Patty Warburton. Let's bring Kronk's voice into the mix.
Well, you got me. By all accounts, it doesn't make sense.
You are going to bring an 80-year-old man's
voice. Not 80. Not 80 at that point. And then I want to go Pee Wee Herman as leader of the trolls. I always want to see if I can get Pee Wee Herman there. And I feel like we don't need another like deeply, richly resonant voice from an authority figure. Let's get a squeaky voice in there, you know? Jamie, do you have any fun facts for this movie?
I just have a couple. After Let It Go, which is obviously the most famous song, it is Do You Want to Build a Snowman? And that song was scrapped until 3 months out. They added it back in.
What?
Like, they were going to cut it completely because they were like, this movie's so long at an hour 50. Like, we got to get this tighter. So it was cut, and then they added it back at the last minute. I can't believe that's such a great song because it's a beautiful passage of time. Like, yeah. I don't understand. And then Olaf also was cut from the film, had already been finished, and a staff animator wrote a 3-page script treatment to prove he was needed as a character. And they were like, okay. Dude, I just love the energy at Disney of like, oh, did you write a PDF?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it.
Arguably the two most important parts of this movie
100%,
were almost cut. Meanwhile, the trolls never threatened and they make no sense.
Yeah, and listen, originally Elsa was a villain. She was a villain from the beginning because technically right. In the Snow Queen, she is a villain.
That's right.
And so they were going to have her as a villain, but then they were like, sisters. And I was like, yeah, a lot of sisters understand villainy. Like
sure.
They do. Like, not all sisters are like, sister. Like, some sisters are like, I will cut you.
Sisters right by chance, friends by choice. I don't remember how the saying goes, but yeah, it's a choice, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So those are some fun facts.
I had, you mentioned that Hans Christian Andersen did the Snow Queen. I like to bring this up. We talked about this before, but Elsa is based on Jenny Lind, the Swedish Nightingale. And because Hans Christian Andersen met her on tour, they became really good friends. But then they had that moment where he was like, I think I want to be more. And she was like, I don't want that. So he got really upset about that and wrote the Snow Queen about her as a way to cope with it.
You
said, I think she's kind of the villain in the story. She's definitely the villain in that story.
She's definitely the
because it ends by her abandoning all the cool main characters, which he's not at all working through that in that summary. We had some BFUTS questions that we asked that we want to go through really quick. Brittany Sanchez says, can we please discuss the Tarzan theory? Like, is the timeline accurate that Tarzan could be their brother? I've always loved the interconnections of Disney films and would kind of love that to be true.
I do love the Tarzan theory. So the theory is that Anna and Elsa's parents, when they left on a ship to go to Flynn and Rapunzel's wedding, or Eugene and Rapunzel's wedding,
right,
that they were shipwrecked off the coast of Africa, and they eventually gave birth to a little boy we know as Tarzan. And this got attention in a Reddit AMA, and Ask Me Anything, with Jennifer Lee, the director and the screenwriter. And she, somebody asked, where were the king and queen planning to go when they lost their lives out at sea? And she said, well, according to Chris, they did not die on the boat. They got washed up on a shore in a jungle island, and the queen gave birth to a baby boy. They built a treehouse, and then they get eaten by a leopard. I like that they died twice. But also, Chris Buck, who co-directed this with her as her male companion, he also directed Tarzan. So he confirmed the theory. He was like, yes, this is 100% correct. And the theory mixes with that the parent ship saying obviously on the way to the wedding, and then Ariel from The Little Mermaid winds up searching for treasure on that very same ship.
I love all the connective tissue.
I like that.
Between the movies. This is from Marlo, which is spelled like my daughter. I can't confirm it's not her, but someone similarly named. They say, what are the religious and philosophical implications of Elsa's ability to create life? Does Olaf have a soul? Aaron, I'm interested in your thoughts on religious implications with Olaf, but because Olaf is clearly a manifestation of something, right? And I think it, because they talk about Olaf, you know, when she's a kid, you know, she makes a snowman who likes warm hugs. Olaf is the name of like a grandfather, I think. I don't know if it's paternal grandfather or maternal, but there was a King Olaf like further back in their line. To me, it feels like Olaf is a manifestation of like familial love, like her connection with her sister, you know? So I think as much as it feels like he does have autonomy, and he does have like wants and desires and aspirations, it does feel like it's maybe Olaf's proof of simulation theory, you know, because he is like a simulated kind of being or entity.
Well, and to be fair, I think Marla was asking a question about do all dogs go to heaven? They do not. They do not.
They do. They do actually. There's no support of that 100% whatsoever. They do.
There's no biblical support of that.
I've seen the Instagram reels where when you get to heaven, your dogs run out and see you. And so that's can't confirm, except for a bear. Bear's not going to heaven. I would love to see an AI creation of Aaron and Ben running to see Bear in heaven and Bear just being like, nah, I'm good.
Middle paw nub up.
And Bear's like, oh no, I'm in the bad place.
I know. But you know, if it's okay, let's say that Olaf is a manifestation of familial love. What is Marshmallow?
Familial tension. That's real dog. That's fair. Thanksgiving that's vibes.
Fair.
You know?
That's fair. That's good.
You know what's interesting about this is that there's a Saint Olaf, and he's like the patron saint of Norway.
How dare you act like we haven't watched Golden Girls?
Okay. Relax. I mean, there's like a saint.
No, that's what it's named after. I know, no, but it's named after him.
I understand. I'm saying, but there's a Saint Olaf, and he's the patron saint of Norway, and his whole deal is like the unification. Like his whole deal is he's bringing people together. Like he unified Norway
into
one place.
Oh, I love
and
that.
So I wonder if there's like a unification, a nod to unification and bringing people together.
That definitely makes sense. I did not know that. Know. That's interesting. All right. Next question. This is from Carrie Jowers. They say, I don't get the trolls.
Look, I have a lot of problems with the trolls. Cause I get that we need that. They're a narrative device because there always seems to be the advice portion of a Disney film,
right?
Of like, hey, we don't know how to get out of this, and then eventually we have to find advice. And unfortunately, this one taps into the worst part of this trope, is because often that advice is from a person of color, and it is clear that one of those rocks is a person of color because it's voiced by a person of color. And sure. It's like, this is the way, like, because I do like in Frozen 2, they're like, oh, did we not have any people of color? Oh, our bad. Here's Sterling K. Brown.
Right.
Like that it makes no sense. And his character could not be more one note. We will just drop him in here. Don't you worry about it. So I don't like the trolls because they do feel very magical advice givers. Mm. And I don't like that trope as a rule, particularly when it gets so attached to people of color helping white people find their way to success.
Yeah. It's the Bagger Vance rule of like,
yes,
you can't have a magical black person helping a white person play golf better or pickleball better. You know, it's just not, there's better ways to do it, guys. I don't know what to tell you. Last question. This is from Chris Nursthimer. Nailed it. If Frozen came out in the 90s, who would replace Kristen Bell and Idina Menzel?
Okay. I have two. I have early 90s, late 90s, early 90s. It's Whitney is Anna and Celine is Elsa. Celine Dion.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay.
Late 90s, this is a classic Britney, Christina Aguilera.
So Christina Aguilera is Elsa?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. For sure.
That
yeah, because Britney feels like, oh, I'm in a sauna. What happened? Oh, Lord.
I do heart. Like the idea of Kevin Federline being Kristoff, you know?
Oh, no.
That is a wrinkle.
Who is the guy that she was married to for 57
is
hours?
Is it Jason Alexander? And Jason I hate Alexander. Myself for knowing that, honestly. I know. That's, not the Seinfeld was... guy. Okay, that is going to do it for our conversation on Frozen.
Now, guys, don't forget, we have the Princess Collection. It's our 5-episode series where we deep dive 5 of the most iconic Disney princesses, including Jasmine, Belle, Tiana, Moana, and Rapunzel. We have the best conversations. Also, we have that new cinema side piece that comes out Friday on The Princess Bride. What a fun rewatch that was. Spoiler, we loved it. We loved it. And then if you subscribe to Note for the Audio, our free weekly newsletter, you can camp out with our new issue that addresses the question, what does my favorite Disney princess say about me? Again, head to noxandjamie.com/annual for all the signups.
And as always, if you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know at noxandjamie.com/54.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the Brushed Rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax, FSA, and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to paireyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's paireyewear.com, code POP.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/popcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for? And what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you'd like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right, what is your red light this week?
Okay, my red light this week is me. Look, me just trying to be an independent woman in the world. I have a little house. I'm trying to survive this winter with these sub-freezing temps for over a week. Chuck, my father, was like, make sure your faucets are dripping. My brother, who's a meteorologist, he had prepped me. He was like, wrap the plants, wrap the spigots, you know, keep the heat higher, wear a coat, like all the things you're supposed to know and do. And I did all of those things. However, I still got a burst pipe on like the last day of the freezing temps. I had a copper pipe. Guys, buy a house in 1939.
Freaking copper pipes, ma'am.
It's freaking copper pipes. And so even though I had had all the things, I did all the things right, I did not do that right. And I realized that my house, listen, this is a 1,700 square foot house. It has three spigots. That's too many spigots, but it has a third spigot and I didn't put a winter coat on it. And it blew. But the best part was I didn't know that this was happening. Neighbor bangs on the door and it's like, hey, I can hear running water out of that end of the house. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And like, I'm frantic. And she goes, don't worry. Casey's on his way with a key. And y'all, listen, it was neighbor after neighbor after neighbor showing up and like trying to turn off the water at the main. A minivan pulls up and goes, what can I do? What's happening? And it was just like sweet, sweet neighbors who helped me save, you know, my house. But it was like the sweet moment of like, I didn't call any of them. I didn't ask any of them. And there were eight of them in my yard on a Sunday afternoon helping me solve this problem. And it was really, really precious. And so red light to me for trying to always, because I think sometimes we can, for those of us who are really independent, maybe we're not prone to ask for help, Enneagram threes. And sometimes, I know, it's not personal.
It is. It's a drive-by.
I know. But I just think there is something to be said for knowing your neighbors if you don't know them. Because listen, to be fair, there were some neighbors that were like, I don't care. And listen, I even said at one point, how many husbands do I need? And my neighbor Caroline was like, my husband's on the couch. I'm the one that's here because I'm the one that knows how to use a tool. And sure. So listen, I just think there's such a testament to not only have good neighbors that you're connected to, because sometimes I can be like, no new friends. But also be the kind of neighbor that shows up for people, particularly people, these neighbors have known each other for years. And I kind of come in and they just embrace me and like took me in like the poor frail homeowner that I am, and I'm so grateful. So, okay, what's your red light?
Well, now I'm stuck on this idea. Like, should we reach out to Caesar Milan on behalf of Aaron and like be like, we need to take, like, we could get footage of that too, you know, like of Caesar Milan trying to cure Bear and Aaron's problems?
Some people just get bad, like get dogs that are like bad. Like, you have a dog that you don't like.
Who?
Is it just sometimes you?
Me?
Yeah.
Those, they listen. Stop. Don't, you can't.
Oh, the dog knows.
No, I did Emma. I had Emma when I was a 20-year-old bachelor, and she sucked, man. She was insane.
I just think he doesn't like life.
Are you saying Bear wants to take his own life?
No, I just don't think he's well suited for life.
See, in most situations, the dog is too wild for domesticity. It feels like Bear doesn't want what you're selling. He doesn't want to be a part.
He doesn't want to be inside. He doesn't want to be outside. He doesn't want to be with us. He doesn't want to be away from us. He doesn't want to eat. He doesn't want to not eat.
Right.
He doesn't want to roam. He doesn't want to be in the yard. He doesn't want any of this. You know, like, he's just not into it. I don't think he wants to be a dog.
I really want to do like a pet psychic series.
I've actually had that thought, because he will look at you, like, he'll be outside and we'll be in the kitchen or something, and he'll just like sit at the door and he'll look at you like he's like, you got to understand that I'm not in my right form.
Like, it's like, I'm a dermatologist.
Yeah. It's like, it really is.
In another country.
And it's kind of like, I'm kind of like, I get it. And I hear you and I see you, but I don't know how to help you.
I just feel like there's a content opportunity here that we're overlooking. And I just want us to all think about that.
Can you imagine if Bear is like a Nobel Prize winner from like 100 years ago? And it's just like, I cannot believe I'm stuck in this house.
And I go, I get it, man, but like, what am I supposed to do
where,
to help
where
you?
The dad cold plunges every day in 10 degree temps.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm like, I understand your plight, but what adventure are we going on to solve this?
Oh, see, that's great. I'm just hearing opportunity. It does, you know, not to go back to our princess collection, but we do like suss out, like, so why is the beast punished because he just didn't want a flower? And like, now he's ruined for 20 years. Has that happened to Bear? You know, is he cursed by a witch?
Right.
You
know, I don't know.
Okay. But,
and also, I can't help him.
Yeah. I mean, until you are given that information.
You got to find that rose, girl. You got to find that rose.
And Ben's too busy cold plunging.
Yeah.
So he's not going to help him either.
It's important. It's like caffeine for your body, but healthy. It's good, you know?
I love that men have found a new fixation.
I know.
Besides just grilling meat.
Look, when I pulled the trigger on the sauna and the cold plunge, I was like, you idiot. You stupid idiot. But it's like, I have so few things that I like anymore, you know.
It's going to activate the brown fat around your organs.
Probably not, but it just feels like productivity. I don't know. I don't even know what we're talking about.
Red light.
Yeah, red light. I just need y'all's help. Football experts, you know, I'm trying to like game plan my bets this weekend, right?
Yeah.
I feel like there's a good crossover here. I'll bring the football. You guys will be like the orchestration of pop cultural intersection with Super Bowl. Because this week is the AFC Championships. Baltimore Ravens are hosting Kansas City Chiefs. The Ravens are better. They are just better. They're healthier. Yeah. This is the year for them. Lamar Jackson's going to win MVP, playing at a super high level. Everything says the Ravens should win.
Yeah.
The Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes and Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. I don't know what to do, because the league, the world, society and culture probably want the Chiefs, but there's no world in which they should beat the Ravens at home.
Right.
I've already bet $100 on the Ravens. I don't know that I can stop myself.
Listen, is Raven a negative term? Because Chiefs is, and so I'm not gonna root for them.
Okay, I've not
gotten Raven Simone's point of view on the Ravens, but I feel like it's okay.
Is there a world in the NFL circles? Is there a world where this is rigged?
Look, a lot of people, if you Google, look up like NFL script, there's a burgeoning conspiracy theory that there is a script like to how the season go. If you look up the Super Bowl logo, the last few years, it's matched the color of the teams participating. And this year it's purple and red. And the favorites to get there are the Niners, 49ers and the Ravens.
How did that guy miss that kick?
Crazy wind conditions, you know?
Oh, okay.
But also, I mean, to your point, Jamie, the most famous missed kick in Buffalo history was wide right in the Super Bowl against the Cowboys, I think, in 92. So, I don't know. Is that a callback?
No, I think you're putting your money in the right place. Because, listen, I think if Swifties were honest, they do not want their beloved to have to fly from Tokyo, like do a show in Tokyo,
yeah,
then time travel back a day and then have to get to the Super Bowl. You do not want her to, and then for her to have to then fly back to New Zealand.
Because if they make it, she has to be there. She has to be at the Super Bowl.
She does. I listen, do I think this is the end of their PR contract? Perhaps.
Stop.
And so I do think she will be at the Super Bowl if he makes it to the Super Bowl.
It's a good point. Maybe it was a condition of Taylor Swift agreeing to this. She's like, look, I'm not a veil for the Super Bowl, just so you know. So they don't get there, right? And Roger Goodell's like, yeah.
I know, but I do think if he makes it to the Super Bowl, people going to be, because the PR, I think for Tree Payne, the PR of her not being there far outweighs her physical health.
I don't know that I can. Like,
they're going to be like, hey, take some more cocaine and get on that plane.
Oh, allegedly.
I'm going to, if they make it to the Super Bowl and I have to sit through 2 weeks of Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce stuff, I'm going to be like Bear at Aaron's house. I'm just going to be like, I don't want to be here. I'm not built for this.
I was a real sports fan before any of this
happened. Yeah, this is wrong. Okay, thank you for helping me make the decision. Jamie, what's your green light this week?
Okay, my green light this week is the new season of True Detective, Night Country. Now, listen, I normally wouldn't green light a show this early into its season, although it's a third done. There's only six episodes.
Is that right? I didn't realize
that. Yeah, there's only six episodes, let's make six episodes the norm.
Thank you. Yes.
A limited series. I don't need 10 episodes because you just blew them up with three episodes we didn't need. So I like eight tops, no more than eight. But six episodes, the fourth season, it's the first one with a little fun bonus subtitle, Night Country. It is being directed showrunner Issa Lopez, who is the first to do this season. It's set in the fictional town of Ennis, Alaska. It follows the investigation behind the disappearance of eight men from a research station. It stars Jodie Foster, who is throwing a million miles an hour in this role. And then newcomer actor, Kaylee Reese, also doing amazing work. And they are playing detectives trying to solve this case. It's creepy. It's frosty. It's a gorgeous show. Like, it's visually stunning and creepy and dark, but it also does a lot of like, we're going to show you, we're not going to tell you. And I loved it. I think it balances human horror with maybe supernatural horror pretty well. And it's a wild cast of characters. Listen, hardened lady cops are catnip for me. Mayor of Easttown. I just love them. They're so great. And so if you liked Mayor of Easttown, I think you'll like this. Now, I did see, we did a pilot program. We covered, Knox and I covered the first episode for Best Friends of the Show last Friday. But I will say, somebody asked, they're like, if I get scared at CSI, will this scare me?
Yes, it will. Yeah, it is.
Listen, you can watch the first 4 minutes. I'm not making that up. You can watch the first 4 minutes of the first episode and you will know immediately, can I handle this? And if you can't, you should bounce. You should bounce. But if you're like drawn in, like to me, I was like, oh, I'm in Ferris Bueller? What's he doing here?
Yeah.
I love this. And
nothing
so
good.
And a second episode, I was worried that, because sometimes True Detective can get lost in the gazing out the window. A lot of shows can get lost in that of like, man, what are they thinking? It's just, let's hold. But listen, that second episode, it info dumped fast. We learned a lot. We met a lot of new people. It was great. I loved it. So I highly recommend it.
I've got two green lights. First, I'll go quick. As a dad light, and it's Percy Jackson on Disney Plus. We watched it over the last two weekends. And it's not quite done yet. But it's essentially, it's based off the book series. I think we talked about it in one of our SMKs previously. But it is. I think TV is a better fit for Percy Jackson than movies. I think they wanted to turn it into Harry Potter. And there's definitely Harry Potter vibes. You definitely feel that. I appreciate the Greek mythology connotations. And I think where Percy Jackson really hits it out of the park is they use their celebrity, big actor cameos really smartly. You've got a Jason Mantzoukas. You've got, what's her name? Ron Swanson's wife. You've got Lin-Manuel shows up. Thank you. But it's really well done. Kids love it. I think it's a way to kind of teach a little bit, but also show some really good storytelling. So I highly recommend checking that out with your kids. The proper green light this week is a documentary on Netflix, which you mentioned liking short runs of TV, and you mentioned liking Lady Cups. Lady Cops. I got both for you, Jamie. I got both for you in American Nightmare.
Let's go.
On Netflix.
I've heard this, good things.
This is incredible. So American Nightmare essentially is a 3-episode documentary about the case of Denise Huskins, who in 2015 was kidnapped and drugged and some other not great things, held hostage among them. And her boyfriend, Aaron Quinn, was with her when it happened. They tell a fantastical story of what happened to them. Some would say unbelievable, but as we go, we learn that it actually might be more believable than we think. There's a villainous character named Matt Mustard, which when I hear there's a chud, meathead, jabroni named Detective Matt Mustard, I was like, hold on my calls, cancel all my appointments. I have to be here for the duration. It's not like a fun time. You know, it's a true story. Some terrible things happened to someone, so that sucks. But it is really interesting, entertaining. I didn't know about this story. Evidently, I think Criminal did a series or a couple episodes on this case. But I think it is a time and time again. Sometimes we need a reminder that institutions and authorities don't always have our best interests at heart and aren't always doing the best job. So you got to stand up for yourself. You got to take care of yourself, unless you're surrounded by really cool neighbors like Jamie was, and then you can rely on them. But don't just assume that a meathead named Matt Mustard has your best interests at heart, because especially when he says,
right,
I got to figure out how to make you the monster in this. That's not a good thing that you want when you're the boyfriend who's completely innocent. But I highly recommend checking this out. It's so
okay. Such I can't a good, wait to watch it.
Yeah, such a good little trilogy of episodes. All right, that is going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before we go, remember, anytime you need shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcastfirst. So your purchase is our affiliate link. If you're item purchase using that link this week was Jamie. This is artificial grass for dogs, Aaron.
Oh, Aaron, maybe Bear would like some real fake grass.
I don't think you will.
Okay, so this has 1,800 global ratings, 4.4 stars. People love this. It's meant for like dogs to have grass, maybe to poop. I don't know what this is for. I don't understand pet care. But I did read 1-star review from Linwood who said, it smells so bad the skunks won't approach it. Well, why are you trying to lure skunks to your grass? I don't like that. That's very weird, Linwood. I don't like that. All right, you guys, don't forget, it's Princess Collection. 1 week left. Only 1 week left. And then those 5 episodes of the Princesses that we've covered will go into the vault. You will not be able to access them. So do not miss out. We would love to have you. And as a reminder, if you sign up to be a BFOX annually and you get a month in and you're like, I like you, but this was not worth it, you can just email us and we'll refund all your money. That's how passionately we believe in this project. So make sure that you go to notsojamie.com/annual and sign up. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You'll find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.